Today on the 10-12 podcast, myself and Andy break down a tough NCAA tournament for the men, a solid start to the NCAA tournament for the women, plus a little football talk, including Friday night games for the Big 12 on Fox, good or bad, the latest article on realignment and which ACC teams could end up in the Big 12, plus which ones we want to end up there, and more.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the 10-12, the podcast that covers all 14 teams in the Big 12 Conference, plus Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah. We are the flagship show of the 10-12 Network. Find every show on the network at 1012network.com. Plus, we are partners with Sports Social, Europe's biggest sports podcast network. I'm your host, Philip Slavin. Thank you for joining us on this Monday. Just a heads up. This is probably going to be our last regular Monday episode for a little while. This is about the time of year we cut down to one episode a week. We will have our consistent Thursday softball episodes moving forward until we at least get to the Women's College World Series. We'll have some intermittent Monday episodes as we football, tennis, a lot of different things that we'll try and sneak in here and there. But we're going to cut back. And then, of course, summertime comes and we're less consistent. I've got a few football-related things that I want to work on, and I need to do some prep and some research to do them well, and I've got guests I'm lining up for those. So to do that, I've got to make time to do that, and I can't create more time in the schedule and record, so I've got to cut back somewhere, so we're going to cut back on episodes. So we'll still come to you every Thursday. It'll be mostly softball-focused, so if you're a fan of those shows, thank you for listening, and keep doing so. We got a lot to get to today because of that. Obviously, we've got to talk basketball, as well as a little bit of football talk. We're going to talk about an article from 247. I hate talking realignment. We're going to do it anyways. We're going to talk about Friday football games. We've got March Madness to discuss. So joining me as he does every week, he is my good friend and the host of the Rock Chalk podcast, part of the 1012 Network, Andy Mitz.
Yeah, it's good to be here. And I'm well enough to talk about some sports that is both disappointing and also great at the same time. So we'll see.
Yeah, let's... Man, Jamie is not here. She's busy because obviously Iowa State is still going in the women's tournament. We'll talk about that here in a minute. So she cannot join us. She's busy. She's currently tweeting us stuff about.
She's in pregame right now for their game coming up. So
she's also tweeting us things about other Big 12 programs. We're not going to get into any of that because
no.
Oh boy.
Let's just put it this way: if you hear something about any program in the Big 12, 95% likely that she already knows it.
Yes. Let's just say there's going to be some teams who have enjoyed some good years who may have rough seasons next year. Let's just go with that. Sorry, I can't say more. All right, let's start with the men's tournament. We're sitting here right now. Houston is currently playing Texas A&M. A&M's up 16-15. No, Houston's up 17-16 with 10:47 left in the first half. Can we just start with the loss that sucks the most? And I know you're going to say,
I mean,
Kansas,
all of them,
Andy.
No,
but no,
no, I agree.
The fact that Clemson beat Baylor as solidly as they did, Clemson's head coach, Brad Brownell, of course, is the one who started all of the look at the ACC Big 12's record against the ACC. They're the one who's gaming the system, blah, 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 blah. That chucklehead is the one that was the reason that we had to spend 2 weeks sitting here defending the Big 12's non-conference slate. And then they get to, and then they go out, and instead of getting upset in the first round, like everyone thought they would, because New Mexico is supposed to be good, and New Mexico earmuffs kids, shat the bed.
Hot garbage.
And broke the record of like lower seeded teams being favored over like 11s over 6, 11 being favored or double digits favored. I don't remember the exact stat. Point is, when like a double digit seed is favored, like they're like 10-1. Well, now it's 10-2 because New Mexico stunk and Clemson's now off to the Sweet 16 and Brad Brownwell gets to be on this spot and Baylor lost this game. And here we are. So as of this time of recording, the Sweet 16, not a lot of Big 12 representation on the men's side. Not great. We know Iowa State has gone through. They'll face Illinois next weekend. Iowa State the 2 seed, Illinois the 3 seed. Houston, like I said, currently playing Texas A&M for a chance to go to the Sweet 16 and then face Duke in the 4 seed next weekend. And can we go ahead and just claim Arizona now since they've advanced? Arizona has advanced to next weekend.
Yeah. They're a Big 12 team.
That's
So is Colorado, who almost pulled off the upset over Marquette today.
But didn't, so it doesn't count.
No, I know, but...
Not a great showing for the Big 12 in this tournament, frankly. I like to point out that what happens in the tournament doesn't justify any sort of arguments one way or the other, because that's, like, upsets happen. But we sit here in the... as we prepare for the Sweet 16, and if you look at the round of 32 games, it's been pretty chalky. As far as seeding goes, the lower seed, or the higher seed, however you want to put it, the team that should win from a standpoint of seeding has won. 1 seed Purdue over 8 seed Utah State, 2 seed Tennessee over 7 seed Texas, 3 seed Creighton over 11 seed Oregon, played a hell of a game, 2 seed Arizona over 7 seed Dayton, 1 seed North Carolina over 9 seed Michigan State. Like, it's been pretty chalky for the round of 32. We had a lot of fun upsets in the round of 64. Round of 32 has been pretty chalky, except for when it comes to the Big 12, when 5 seed Gonzaga knocks off Kansas. I understand all the issues that this is not actually the Kansas that earned the 4 seed, yada, yada, yada. I get all that. 6 seed Clemson over 3 seed Baylor. Like, it's pretty chalky, except for the Big 12 teams. In fact, if you look at it at this point, 6 seed BYU got knocked off by 11 seed Duquesne. 6 seed Texas Tech got knocked out by 11 seed NC State, albeit a very hot on a 7-game win streak NC State, who was playing really well, and that Burns kid is ridiculous. 4 seed Kansas got, let's just call it, upset by 5 seed Gonzaga. Texas got beat by Tennessee. That's not an upset. So far, that's the only loss for the Big 12. 6 seed Clemson beats 3 seed Baylor. The only loss for the Big 12 at this point that was not a upset. I guess you could say Tennessee's not. TCU's not.
Not a seed upset, yes. But
yeah, seed upset.
But
seed,
I mean, you, right, because you look at that Gonzaga-Kansas game, like, Gonzaga was favored by 4.5 going into the game. So, like...
Yeah, because that's not the Kansas that earned a 4 seed.
Oh, right, exactly. Yeah. No, it's a little bit of unfortunate, you know, with certain matchups. And I'm going to be honest, that Baylor-Clemson game, I watched that, and I just did not understand what was going on half the time. The reffing has been just as disappointing in the NCAA tournament as it has been in the regular season. So unfortunately, it's not a Big 12 issue. It's a, we don't know how to officiate anymore because they changed some rules. And I understand it takes some time to get used to, you know, the new rules in terms of the way that they're calling block charge. But, you know, some pretty clear examples of what should have been blocks or charges, you know, have gone absolutely the other way from what they told us at the beginning of the year. So, but I mean, I do agree. It is very hard to look at this and say that you're not disappointed about the way the Big 12 has played so far. With the exception, of course, of, you know, Iowa State and then Houston in their first game against Longwood. But
I mean, at this point, all the Big 12 has done is, like, the congrats to Iowa State on avoiding the upset. Houston, of course, playing Texas A&M right now. But otherwise, it's been a lot of teams who got upset. And, like, it happens. I understand that. Does it make the Big 12 worse? No. Are people going to crack jokes about it, about the Big 12? And, ha-ha, that's what happens. You played your bad non-con. You really did game the system. No, that's BS. We all know it. But it still stinks. Like, it's still less than ideal to have the tournament go the way it has. And the Big 12 has not pulled off an upset. That's the other problem for the Big 12 right now, is you haven't pulled off upsets. You haven't pulled off a big win over a team that you weren't supposed to beat. You are the conference who's being upset. At this point, you are going to have, at most, two teams in the Sweet 16. When you led all conferences with number of teams in the tournament. Not ideal.
Now, to not be ideal fair, at all. To be fair, it's hard to be a conference that upsets a bunch of teams when you don't have a bunch of games as the lower seeded team.
No, and that's fine. What I'm saying is that you are, and that's fine. The problem I have is then you have been upset.
Yeah.
Constantly, yeah. Consistently. Like the Baylor one is the one that stinks the most to me at this point, because like nobody, like Clemson, everyone thought Clemson was going to upset the first round. Now Clemson's in the Sweet 16 because Baylor didn't play well. And it had to be against the team with the head coach who tried to call out the Big 12 and say his team wasn't getting the credit it deserved. And now look what we have. And so it is frustrating from a Big 12 perspective.
Yeah.
Our hope rests on Houston going out and winning the national championship so we can have another Big 12 team doing it for the like third time in 5 years and have another team. Go Iowa State, go. We all need to be, I don't care how you feel about Iowa State or Houston, Big 12 fans. Right. Our conference's reputation is a little bit on the line. Suck it up. And just hope to beyond hope that those two teams find a way to pull off the wins necessary to reach the Final Four.
Yeah, I was going to say that my Houston-Iowa State national championship game is still in play here, so I'm still feeling good.
It's like, I get it. You don't like Iowa State, you don't like Houston. Whatever, fine. Crack the jokes, cool. For the conference as a whole, if neither Houston or Iowa State make it to the Elite Eight, if we get to the Elite Eight and there are no Big 12 teams in it for the best conference in the country, in the nation, one of the best conferences of all time, as good as the Big 12 is supposed to be this year, the narratives are going to last all the way until next year, and it's going to get annoying. You're going to get tired of it. It's going to be like hearing the narratives about how the Big 12 is going to die due to realignment and blah, 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 blah. The Big 12 is a second-tier conference, blah, 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 blah. We do not need it in basketball. We have finally reached the point where the national consensus is the Big 12 is the best conference in men's basketball. Not like, oh, it's also the ACC. Oh, that's the consensus nationally. We do not need to go out there and completely lay an egg in the tournament.
Yeah. And so, literally the only people that don't agree that the Big 12 is the best conference are homers for other conferences.
Big East fans, diehard Big East fans. So I we're going to adopt Arizona moving forward. You just starve. Just do it. Just be excited about, well, Arizona's coming in. So if they make a run. So right now, our fingers should all be crossed for a Final Four that includes Arizona, Iowa State, Houston, and then whoever comes out of the Midwest. Fine. Cool. Purdue. Cool. Great. I never thought I'd actually see a Purdue team play as well as they're playing.
Nah, give me Creighton. I want Creighton.
Future Big 12 conference member in basketball only, Creighton.
No. I don't want to hear about Purdue making the Final Four and having a chance to do what Virginia did and winning a national title after, you know, getting upset in the first round as a one seed. And I don't like any of the other teams very much. So
the Big Ten hasn't won a national championship. Should Michigan State did it in like 2000 or 99 or whenever they last did it. So exactly. Let's keep that streak alive. So that's the men's side. Obviously, game's still going on at this particular moment. 7:32 left in the first half, and Houston's up 27-20 on Texas A&M. This thing's still feeling chalky. Alabama's up on Grand Canyon. UConn's destroying Northwestern. God, UConn's.
Alabama-Grand Canyon game's been going back and forth, so we still have hope for an upset there.
It's a really chalky. First round was a lot of excitement, a lot of fun, and we've had really good games in the second round. The Sweet 16 is pretty chalky.
Well,
the only double-digit seed so far is because two double-digit seeds played each other to get to the Sweet 16. We haven't had a like maybe Yale beat San Diego State. You know, there's still games that are to be played, but like James Madison looked bad against Duke. Illinois had no problem with Duquesne.
Right.
The Oregon was so close, and I really thought they were going to pull it off. I thought they could pull that one off. Colorado was in a good game with Marquette. I thought maybe Colorado pulled it off, and yet here we sit. And it's been it's looking like a pretty chalky final. No, at the time, this is going to drop, and Yale will have beaten San Diego State, and Grand Canyon will have come back and won, and I'll look like an idiot. But at this point, at time of recording, I keep emphasizing.
I will take it. Let's make it happen.
All right. Let's look at the women's side, women's bracket. The Big 12 in the first round, perfect 7-0. Absolutely incredible. We're waiting on round one is done. Round two is underway, so we can't say a whole lot about round two and what the Sweet 16 is going to look like. But for the Big 12 to go 7-0 to start off, I don't care what happens the rest of the way. Like, that is, the women had a much stronger start than the men did. And that's a positive. That is a positive for this conference. It's a great thing. Congratulations. We gotta at least for a second, specifically, Jamie would be very sad if we didn't at least mention how incredible Audie Crooks was. For
oh my
State.
Gosh.
I'm just going to run through a few things here. Per Her Hoop Stats, list of all freshman players ever who have scored 40 points in a women's NCAA tournament game since 2009. Since 2009, here are the list of women who have scored 40 points in an NCAA tournament game. One, Audie Crooks.
Yeah, I was going to say, just one, right?
List of all players with 17 or more made shots in a women's NCAA tournament game since 2009. Here's the whole list. One, Audie Crooks. Players with 40 plus points on 40 or more points on 90% shooting in an NCAA tournament game all time, men or women. Let me repeat that. Players, men or women, with 40 or more points on 90% shooting in an NCAA tournament game all time. Bill Walton, UCLA 1973 title game. Audie Crooks. That's it. She was absolutely, ridiculously incredible in helping Iowa State come back from a double-digit deficit against Maryland to win their first-round game, and now we'll play Iowa State tonight. That game tips off in like 30 minutes from
Stanford,
now. A time
Stanford
of record.
Stanford is playing. I was like, look, they're good, but I don't think they're good.
It's the blinders on scene where I've blacked out and not saying, like, right. I know. Point is, absolutely incredible for Iowa State to get that win. I hope to God I'm wrong. Like, I'm not picking them to beat Stanford tonight, but there is a lot of promise on that team, especially with Audie Crooks as a true freshman, that the youth on that roster and with what's coming back next year. I know that Colorado is going to probably be like, and Jamie will back us up on this, probably going to be like the preseason favorite next year in the Big 12. Utah will be up there pretty high. Of the returning teams, Iowa State, y'all, like right there with that roster. They're going to be so good next year and so much fun. So, congrats.
Especially
to her,
since
congrats
they
to
only
12.
Need to replace like one piece. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, two starting lineup players, but pretty much all of the bench is coming back. Like, they have a pretty dang good team to build with anyway. So, they just need to add a couple pieces.
Yeah. Very, very good. Baylor should be good as well. Right now, Baylor is in a tight game with Virginia Tech. In the third quarter, we'll keep a track that one. Like why? By the time this comes out, the case will be over.
No, but we can have some thoughts about it after it's done. If it's over before we're done,
including the game, we're gonna have.
I'm gonna be honest.
Here.
I hope it's not over, or I hope it's not over before we're done, because that means we've gone over an hour, over an hour.
We're not doing that. There is one game we can have a thought on. Games to be played on Monday. 8-seed West Virginia. Facing off against the queen of women's college basketball, Caitlin Clark, in Iowa at 7 p.m. Also at 5:30 p.m. on Monday, Oklahoma 5-seed at 4-seed Indiana. That game should be interesting. Oklahoma got down to 4 Gulf Coast there for a little while and pulled off the win. We'll see how they look against
the
Indiana team that's been.
I would say they looked awful early in that game and were able to turn it around the second half. So that was good to see.
Texas has already advanced to the Sweet 16. They'll face the winner of Utah and Gonzaga. Utah, solid program. I'll take Utah in that one, even though it's at Gonzaga. We'll see what happens. Like we said, Iowa State and Stanford about to tip off here. Baylor and Virginia Tech going on right now. Also, 9 p.m. on Monday, Kansas, 8-seed Kansas against 1-seed USC. Congrats to Kansas on that win over Michigan. Another come-from-behind win there. And then the one result we all already have as well, Kansas State losing to Colorado. That was a tight game until a absolutely horrible foul call because one player is 6 inches shorter than the other. And so, the elbow's weirdly high, whatever, on Sundell. And Colorado gets the win against Kansas State. The game was close, and then Colorado ran away with it. Hate this for Kansas State. We're kind of afraid, and Jamie kind of pointed to, she thought Colorado would win this game, and they did. They've been a good team. I have Colorado on my Final Four in the bracket.
I would say I have them. I have them as my runner up. So, I mean, I think they're good. And this was one where they probably could have still won that game. But you're right; that completely changed momentum and made it took it from a tight game down the stretch that Colorado probably wins to Colorado pulls away and everyone's disappointed.
Based off like projections before the bracket was announced, if Kansas State doesn't make the run to the Big 12 championship game, Kansas State's probably at Colorado as opposed to the reverse. Like it felt like Kansas State and Colorado were doomed to be together in these opening two rounds.
Right.
Kansas State got the host spot, but like Colorado's been good this season. Kansas State just hasn't looked the same ever since Aoka Lee got injured, you know, a couple months ago. And it's been a good year for Kansas State. It's been a solid season. You got to be proud of it. I understand didn't end the way they would have liked to, especially when they were able to sell out home court for both of these games and had an absolutely incredible crowd. This roster is going to lose a lot with Aoka Lee and Gabby Gregory. There's a lot of older players on this team. We'll see what they look like next year, but tough way to lose for Kansas State, tough end of the season. But I mean, it's a really good season for Kansas State. I hate when when you lose in a game you don't expect to or don't think you should in the tournament, and it ruins a good season. Because I understand there was some aspiration for Kansas State before Aoka Lee got injured. Taking that into account, there's an incredible season for them. They should be very, very proud of it.
Especially with what they did after she got injured. Like, the fact that they were still able to stay up at the top of the sport for quite a while. You know, I think, unfortunately, this is the kind of loss and kind of ending to the season, though, that in the transfer portal era might sour some individual players. And so I'm hoping that they don't lose a ton in the portal, but you never really know at this point. Look, you know, I'm a KU guy, but I do want the rest of the conference to actually be good. So like, I'm hoping that Kansas State can put together a good team next year. We will be looking, I think, at the portal pretty quickly to figure out who is actually going to be able to retain a lot of their talent. I'm just hoping that a lot of teams in the Big 12, I want the Big 12 to be a net gainer in the portal as opposed to people leaving. So hopefully that's the case.
Agreed. And look, I mean, Colorado will be in the Big 12. This is a great opportunity to kind of renew a rivalry between Kansas State and Colorado starting next year, right? Like, I think that's a fun thing that they had this game. Colorado got the win. So what's going to happen when they get to face off? That's going to be you've got the rivalry renewed early. I love it. That's fantastic.
And hey, let's introduce a new rivalry really quick in the next round when West Virginia upsets Iowa tomorrow, right?
Is West Virginia joining the Big Ten? Was I not?
No, Colorado. Yeah.
Sorry, I was pulling up another tab for other conversations, so I wasn't.
No, that's all right.
In front of me. No, good. Yeah, no. Let's fingers crossed. It's a good West Virginia team. I think they got underseeded as an 8, but it is Caitlin Clark in Iowa, so we'll just see what happens.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, look, I think the women have done a really good job. We'll see how many teams are able to advance and carry the Big 12 on moving forward. We know that Texas has. We're hoping that, you know, hell, we hope Iowa State pulls off the upset. We're hoping Baylor gets this win here that they're in this tight game that they're in. We hope Oklahoma can pull off the upset on the road. Maybe West Virginia can find some magic. Like, it'd be great. We'd love to see as many Big 12 teams advance. On the men's side, like we said, I'll just wrap on this.
I notice how you didn't include Kansas getting hot from some of their seniors. Come on, Phillip. You call out everybody not Kansas.
You did that thing last week, and I've just, Andy, sometimes you get overly defensive on the show about Kansas, like you're arguing against phantoms who've been like haunting you. And so,
yeah, usually.
Let me defend a point that nobody's arguing against. It's like, Andy, like, I would love to see Kansas pull off the win over USC. Like, it's as realistic as West Virginia beating Iowa.
Yeah,
like,
fair.
I'm going to leave that as it is. Like, that's not a shot at Kansas or a shot at West Virginia. That is, Kansas beating USC is as realistic an expectation as West Virginia beating Iowa.
Look, I expect a loss, but if you're going to call out every other school, hoping that they can pull off an upset.
Kansas is in the tournament this year? Did they make it? They're not NIT?
Yeah.
They're not going to win the NIT?
No, they're not.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm kidding.
They wouldn't have been in the NIT anyway, because remember, the NIT is now, the women's NIT is now like third string.
Oh, yeah, it's a WBIT. whatever it's called. I don't know.
So weird.
Cool beans. A little more basketball we're going to talk about. Speaking of West Virginia, they have their new head coach. I'm sorry, is it official or is it still just all the reporting is Drake, men's basketball coach, is now going to, Darian DeVries will now be the head coach at West Virginia.
I haven't seen anything from DeVries. I haven't seen anything from Drake. I haven't seen anything from West Virginia. So I'm assuming as of right now, it's still a, this is the expectation, but nothing's official yet.
Every report, I think I saw at one point, like it will be announced, if not tonight, then tomorrow. Like West Virginia has found their man. This was one of the, for the past couple weeks, become one of the hottest names. Yeah, like Pete Thamel, I think, was the first one to break it. West Virginia's finalizing a five-year deal to hire Drake's Darian DeVries, the school's next men's basketball coach. DeVries led Drake to the NCAA tournament three of the past four seasons. Every season at Drake, he won at least 20 games. That was, what, five seasons? Hold on, let me pull it up. I got Wikipedia. One, two, three, four, five, six seasons. He went 20 games at least every single year, made it to the NCAA tournament, as I mentioned, three of the last 4 years. He made the CIT in his first year, the CBI last year, and then, of course, in 2020, there was no postseason, so we don't know. He won the Missouri Valley regular season in his first year. He won the tournament the last 2 years, which tells you in 21, guess what? They got in as an at-large because they didn't win the conference tournament. So they got in as an at-large. Drake did. That's wild. I love this. Look, I said this on Twitter, and I'll say this now. I don't know if a head coaching hire is going to work or not. At this point, I think we should all have learned that there's no such thing as a sure thing. There's just not. But I think this is a great hire for West Virginia. I think this is a guy that a lot of people wanted. Like I don't know what's going on at Louisville, but they've got to be in a bad spot. The Dusty Mays at Michigan. Oklahoma State fans were desperate for him, wanted him very badly, and West Virginia got him. And I think this speaks to a few things. West Virginia fans already know this, but West Virginia is still a respectable men's basketball program. The biggest question for West Virginia this offseason was this. Because you kept seeing so much stuff about Bob Huggins still, because you still saw some of the old money talking about, well, what if we brought Bob Huggins back? Because these were kind of some of the conversations you were having, there was a real question and concern about whether or not some of the money would dry up because they were mad that Bob Huggins wasn't still the head coach. It was a legitimate question. That kind of stuff happens. Old farts get salty about their buddy not being the head coach and not getting to do what they want. I think this speaks to that's not going to be a problem. I think West Virginia is going to have plenty of backing because, look, they ponied up. What I think people forget is what West Virginia had for this roster before Bob Huggins went and screwed the whole thing up was a really good roster built out of some high-level players out of the transfer portal that they paid money to get. That's legal, by the way. Nothing I'm saying is against the rules.
Right, right.
That money is still there. And to get Darian DeVries, because I've listened to like Matt Norlander talk a lot about, like, and Ethan Bach has been on here, and Brian Ralph has talked about this. Yes, what they're going to get paid as far as a head coach matters. What is your NIL? What are they going to have to work with? Because you can pay me all the money in the world. If I don't have an NIL budget that I can work with, it doesn't matter. Okay? So, I think West Virginia is set. I like this hire a lot. It should really help a Big 12 that's going to go to 16 teams and just get deeper. That just means now you're going to have a West Virginia team that's probably going to be really good. Oh, and by the way, if DeVries does bring his son Tucker, who's the like three-time defending Missouri Valley Player of the Year with him, if Tucker, who's got 1 year of eligibility left, wants to follow his father to West Virginia and play there. Not a bad start. Not a bad way to start. Your team.
By the way, I didn't want to break into your West Virginia comments, but was watching the Baylor Virginia Tech game, and Baylor hit a logo three at the very end of the third quarter to take a 3-point lead heading into the final quarter. Brilliant. It was pretty impressive. So, but yeah, I mean, West Virginia, you know, I think it's another example of adding a coach who fits in with the quality of coaches we have around the rest of the conference. I don't know if he'll be successful because this is a league that, again, just chews up people and spits them out. But I do think he at least has as much of a chance as any other hire that they could have had. And he feels like the right guy. Like you said, he feels like a guy that can come in and energize the fan base and can do the things that they need to do to be successful. The real question is just, is it going to work?
Alabama beat Grand Canyon, so still chalky is all get out. Houston and A&M are, the people who are listening to this, like, why are you updating us on games that are finished? Houston and A&M are tied.
We are reacting in real time.
So I like the hire. As far as Oklahoma State now the last remaining Big 12 job that is currently open. DeVries is no longer a candidate. I've got a couple different reports we're going to go off of here. The last thing from McLean Baxley, who writes for GoPokes 247, that's the Oklahoma State 247 site. The last stuff out of him was that the favorite right now to be the next head coach is Utah State men's basketball coach Danny Sprinkle. He had been connected to the Washington job for some time. His father played football at Washington. He's mostly coached at up in the West, Mountain West, West Coast, Northwest area. That made a lot of sense. Washington doesn't have an athletic director because their AD left. He was on the job for 5 months, fired the basketball coach, then left. So there is some thought there that Sprinkle may not want to wait around for them to hire a new AD, may not want to go into a job that doesn't have an athletic director, and Oklahoma State might be in a good spot there. That is the 247 report. I'm going to pull up what Matt Norlander has written for CBS Sports. This was a blurb. He's got information about every single current open job and even the new hirings. Quote, AD Chad Weiberg surprised some by making the move to fire Boynton at a time when the school has to rally around $15 million to pay off Boynton, hire a new staff, and try to fundraise close to $2 million in NIL. Because, as we know, Boynton complained about Oklahoma State's lack of NIL when it came to men's basketball. Seems like coaches complain about NIL at Oklahoma State a lot. This job is falling lower in the pecking order. Obviously, that would be below Louisville as well, who can't seem to find anybody either. And I'm curious where it falls below in regards to SMU, which is now technically a Power 5 job. And you know they got NIL money because those donors will spend. I mean, they fired a coach after his second season. And when he improved by 10, like he doubled his win total from year one to year two, and they fired him. And everyone's like, what are you doing?
I mean,
Will Wade.
They have enough money that they said, we won't take any kind of payout from the conference for 5 years. Like, they've got donor money. They're good.
Yeah. I've been told Weiberg has been able to be aggressive in his offers to a few candidates. I've heard everyone from Kyle Smith, Washington State, Buzz Williams, Texas A&M, Mark Byington, James Madison, Ronald Norred, who I had to Google to figure out who that is. He is currently an assistant coach for the Atlanta Hawks. He was the Long Island Nets. No, he's never been a college head coach. He was a NBA G League head coach for two seasons. Otherwise, he was an assistant at Northern Kentucky for a few years, mostly NBA assistant. Not sure how that one fits at OSU. Amir Abdur Rahim, USF, and many more, including DeVries, who is now spoken for, said one source familiar with the process, quote, the search has been a mess, end quote. So for Oklahoma State fans, I am one of them. Desperate for a decision to be made. I still think it will be done this week at some point. Like, I would be shocked if by Friday Oklahoma State doesn't have a head basketball coach, then the search has been a mess is an entirely accurate statement. I don't know the accuracy.
It's also probably an understatement at that point.
Yeah, then now you've got, also you're going to be, that means they don't have any NIL money. That's going to tell you that the NIL really is a problem if they can't find a head coach. So, not sure what's going to happen to Oklahoma State. Maybe it's Danny Sprinkle. I think Oklahoma State fans would, for the most part, be very happy with that hire. Steve Alford was apparently been interested in the job. That does not fit the young and up-and-comer that Chad Weiberg has mentioned that he has wanted in his description of what they'd be looking for. You notice that Steve Alford was that? Excuse me, mentioned in that list of people they've talked to, nor is Bryce Drew, which I'm fine with. So something to keep an eye on moving forward is obviously this Oklahoma State job. Again, I would expect something done by the end of the week, but we shall have to see. One thing we don't have to see is Charlie Hustle, because I've got it on right now. I don't. I forgot I changed shirts because I had to make dinner and I didn't want to get any splatter on my beautiful Big 12 shirt from Charlie Hustle with the Big 12 that's logo how great, and the Kansas yeah, City skyline.
Yeah, that's how great it is that you got to protect it. Make sure it doesn't get any, you know, sauce or something on it.
Must be protected with all I can. They have every current Big 12 school available right now at Charlie Hustle, including Cincinnati. Some great basketball stuff available. They've had the sale they had this weekend. By the time this drops, I think the sale is over. It was supposed to be done already. If it's still going on, get to the website before they realize they left it up and start taking things off of sale. Otherwise, you can use the promo code 10-12-15, TEN1215 for 15% off all non-sale items. And again, they've got something for everybody. They've got great stuff they've launched for the end of basketball season and March Madness. So if you want to get some stuff for next season, go shop now. They've got stuff for football season if you're ready. The collection is just incredible for every single Big 12 school. And I promise you, they've got more coming this summer. Just keep an eye out. Keep an eye out. So, charliehustle.com, promo code 10-12-15, TEN1215 for 15% off all non-sale items. If sale's still going on, go check it out. If it's not, use the promo code. Either way, go shop at Charlie Hustle. Sponsors here of the 10-12 podcast, 10-12 network, friends of the pod. They've got stuff cooking up over there. They got a lot that they're working on. If you're just a fan of things in and around Kansas City, where they are based, you should go check them out as well, because they've got great stuff for the Chiefs, for the NWSL team. Go to charliehustle.com. Go shop today. All right, we got a little bit of football stuff we're going to talk about.
Good old football.
Let's do Friday football games, because I say we talk expansion. We're going to do it. I'll get to it when I have to get to it. It has been known for some time that we would probably get some more weeknight games for the Big 12. It was kind of predicted when Fox announced that they were no longer going to have their deal with, I think it was whichever wrestling organization is where they used to do wrestling on Friday nights on Fox. That's gone. So Fox has to fill that hole. They're filling it with college football. Combination of the Big Ten, which they have the contract for, and the Big 12, because they want bigger games in that Friday night slot. Well, the Big 12 is going to help solve that problem for them. I think we've got the schedule pretty set now as far as which games are going to be played. And we're going to have a lot of Big 12 on Friday nights, including some non-conference games. We have Big 12. I'm going to go through the week and the matchup. Week 1, TCU at Stanford. Week 2, BYU at SMU. Week 3, Kansas State versus Arizona. Week 6, TCU versus Houston. Week 7, Arizona State versus Utah. Week 8, BYU versus Oklahoma State. Week 12, Arizona versus Houston. And then Thanksgiving weekend, week 14, Colorado versus Oklahoma State and UCF versus Utah. So, all in all, we have 9 Big 12 games this season that will be played on Friday nights. Let me just share my opinion. And actually, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to share my opinion and I'm going to give Andy the floor here. I understand why people don't like Friday night football from a college football standpoint. I understand why fans don't like it. I understand why coaches don't like it. I understand why administrators don't like it. For people who don't like it, I completely get it. Wholeheartedly, totally, completely, honestly, truly, everything. I'm not going to argue with anybody who's against it in any way, shape, or form. Every argument I get, I understand. I don't hate it. But I don't go to every home game. I don't tailgate. I don't go to high school football games on Friday nights. Selfishly my perspective. I'm fine with it. Because that means I'm going to watch my team Friday night. And I'm going to have all day Saturday to watch other games. Or I'm going to have all day Saturday to go do something else with my family because I need to. Again, selfish perspective. I don't like that it's going to hurt high school football. I understand that coaches want to be able to go and recruit on those days. I understand they don't like having short weeks, and I haven't matched these all up with idle weeks to figure out if anyone's going to have to play on a short week. It is interesting to me that TCU will play 2 Friday night games. Oklahoma State will play 2 Friday night games. Houston will play 2 Friday night games. Utah will play 2 Friday night games. Like, you're seeing a lot of the same teams on these Friday night games. Yeah, TCU twice, Arizona twice, Utah twice, Houston twice, Oklahoma State twice. Like, you got a lot of the teams who are kind of playing those Friday. And I wonder if those teams were like, yeah, we'll do that. Oklahoma State's got to play 2 Friday night games on the road. Oh, Provo on a Friday night. That screams upset.
Well, and
I'm okay with it. I'm not going to defend it. I'm not going to argue if you hate it. I'm okay with it. It's part of the business.
Well, and if you look at it, I mean, that's part of it too, is that, you know, the majority of the teams that are playing in those are West Coast teams, or at least Western part of the conference teams, like Central. You know, so like Houston and Oklahoma State, like, yeah, it's a later night. It's definitely a Friday night, but depending on the kickoff times, because I believe that some of them are like 8 o'clock Central time. So like if they're a little bit later, that means that you're probably, you know, theoretically you could go if you're going to a high school football game and then coming home and turning it on the TV, you'll catch the second half or something like that. What I will say is I agree. This absolutely sucks for people that go to the game in person. But it's absolutely phenomenal for programs and for teams that want to get more national exposure, because you're not going up against basically anything else. You know, you are able to take advantage of a national time slot that nobody else is in for the most part, and really kind of promote your program. So I can understand why, you know, if the main concern is getting out there and getting people to respect your team on a national basis, then yeah, you play those Friday nights, you play those weird times because there's not nearly as much competition to get eyeballs on your program. But it does suck if you're, you know, even me, like when I go to cover the Jayhawks, if they have a Friday night game that starts at 7, I usually have to take off of my day job early so that I have enough time to get out there a couple hours before it starts and get, you know, all the media stuff done that I need to do. Like it disrupts a lot of stuff that people are used to doing. So I agree. Like you can have plenty of legitimate reasons for hating it. I think there are plenty of program reasons to understand why it's so popular and why teams are willing to do it. And I think that's really just where we're at, is that, especially as the Big 12 tries to compete with the juggernauts of, you know, TV ratings that is Big 10 and SEC, like you've got to get more creative. You've got to do things like this, unfortunately, to make sure that some of your better teams get those opportunities, or even some of those teams that you want people to hear about. Even if they're not your better teams, if you can get them to put their best foot forward on national primetime Friday night football, then it helps the conference in general.
I mean, this is what you signed up for with Fox. Now, I can't guarantee all of these are on Fox Prime, but Fox is going to have a Friday night game. They want a Friday night football, college football game, and they don't want a Mountain West game. They don't want, like, I think the Fox at this point has the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the Mountain West Conference. That's what they got.
Yep.
These are going to be Big Ten and Big 12 games on these Friday nights. So, if you're on Big Fox, like if you're on ESPN2, like I don't know, TCU at Stanford in week 1 might just be an ESPN2 game. Like BYU doesn't, because we haven't put out who's playing what games when. We don't have the first 3 weeks of the season yet. So some of the non-con, like BYU at SMU, SMU's ACC, I would bet money that's an ESPN game. So at best they're going to be on ESPN. If you're BYU and Oklahoma State on at week 8, Friday, October 18th, I get it. But if you're on Fox, like national televised college football game on Friday night, there are benefits to that. I understand why you don't like it. There are benefits to that. There are. If you're Arizona State hosting Utah, if you're TCU hosting Houston, Colorado versus Oklahoma State, the Thanksgiving weekend thing, there's lots of games that day. That's the, but Arizona versus Houston, like these games are going to be on, most likely on Fox. There is a plus to that. There is. So I look forward to the first 3 weeks of the season schedule coming out so we can kind of get an idea of when, who's playing, what times, and what networks. Hopefully we'll find that out soon. Usually we've got a little bit more about that. I think, those don't come out until about June, July. We'll figure that out soon. But if you've got complaints about Friday Night Games, you're welcome to share them with us at 1012 Network on Twitter, at 1012 Pod on Instagram and Threads. And of course, we do have an email, 1012 Podcast, DEN, the number 12, the word podcast at gmail.com. I will respond to your emails if you want to send them to me. If you've got questions you want to start sending, I'd be happy to compile a list of those for a mailbag episode. So feel free to shoot them our way. At time of recording, Houston's up 4 on Texas A&M at the half. The game's already over, Phillip. We don't care. Baylor's up 4 with 2:46 over Virginia Tech on the women's side. So just things to keep an eye on. For us, not for you. This has become a bit I'm enjoying. All right. I don't like talking realignment. There are shows that will cover realignment every single day on their daily episodes. And I have nothing but respect for every podcast that covers the Big 12. I'm not besmirching anybody who does. Please, I want to make sure this is understood.
Got to respect the hustle.
Okay? I respect everybody who does. I think Big 12 fans are more obsessed with realignment than anybody else, and it's really frustrating. Because
and let's put it this way. What we're talking about right now is not like, hey, realignment is definitely happening, right? So like, what do we think is going to happen? It's a, things are at a point now where people can dream about the potential of a conference breaking apart and there being scraps available. So which ones could we pick up? There's like,
everyone has done this. Okay, I'm only doing this because I'm responding to an article that came out. I'm not pulling this out of my own thing. And then I get tired of, you're a Big 12 podcast and you've spent half of your 30-minute show talking about what's going on in the ACC. I'm a Big 12 show. There are Big 12 sports going on. I want to talk about March Madness. I want to talk about softball. I want to talk about
literally, the fact
that Oklahoma State women's tennis is undefeated and number one in the country and just went on the road for this weekend to knock off Texas and Oklahoma. I want to talk about how good, like, I need to check on the score from the TCU Texas, which was a top 10 matchup in men's tennis. Like, I just, like, there's other things that we can talk about, which are sports. We should be saving this non sports specific stuff for the offseason, but they're going to keep writing about this stuff. I'm going to address it. So we're going to do it on the show because I can put realignment in the header, and then it's going to generate more clicks, because I wish you all cared more about the games being played and the sports going on than you do realignment fantasy things, but it is what it is. It's fine. All right. Brad Carofford of 247.
There's a reason that fantasy football, so...
Dude, I love fantasy football. It's not fantasy. Brad Crawford of 247 put on an article. Headline was college football realignment, projecting where Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina, and others land if ACC collapses. Because, of course, Clemson has joined Florida State in the legal battle against the ACC. People are talking about whether or not North Carolina will file, Virginia will file. Miami put out a statement saying that they are very happy with the ACC and it holds together. That's called, we don't have a Big Ten or SEC invite. You notice the teams that are putting in a legal battle either really care about football way more than everybody else and believe they have a landing spot in the Power Two. If you don't have a landing spot in the Power Two, you're like, no, stop all of this. Stop it all of it. That stuff's funny to me. Like, we understand how media works. Right now, the ACC grant of rights remains an ironclad agreement that ain't nobody getting out of. And the legal, I'm not getting into the legal stuff, but the things that, like, Clemson's trying to argue are just beautiful, nonsensical. We all understand that doesn't make sense, but in legalese, it's just brilliant. It's brilliant stuff, and none of it's going to work. We'll figure out what happens. Okay, so I'm going to go through the list of the teams that our good friend Brad here lists out. We can comment on the ones that he says are coming to the Big 12, and I want your picks if you were going to add four teams, because I don't think you're going to add more than four. I think 20 makes the most sense. You can't water down the product. He has Miami to the Big 12. It's difficult to predict Miami standpoint, yada, yada, yada. It doesn't seem likely that Miami... If Florida State goes to the Big Ten, I never want to hear the Big Ten talk about how important academics are ever again for the rest of the existence of that freaking conference. Okay. Miami to the Big Ten. I'm going to go through the list and we can kind of Miami to the Big Ten or Big 12. Virginia to the Big Ten. That's been a conversation. Virginia Tech, TBD. Clemson, SEC. Okay. At North Carolina State, Big 12. I like. We'll discuss more. Duke, TBD. North Carolina, SEC. Yes, because as I have said before, the SEC went after North Carolina first when North Carolina said no. That's the only reason Missouri's in the SEC now. Notre Dame, independent. Florida State, Big Ten. If Florida State goes to the Big Ten, don't you ever talk about academics ever again. It's a freaking teaching school. This is not some massive research institution, but sure, whatever, Big Ten. And that's the end of the list. So the ones he has as far as Big 12 specifically mentioning are North Carolina State and Miami. Andy, your thoughts?
I don't hate it. Although I could pass on Miami. Like, I understand they're a huge brand and all that stuff, but they have not been very competitive in a lot of different things. They're supposed to be for quite a while. So I don't know. We'll see. I wouldn't hate either of them. But I would definitely want NC State. I probably would take Virginia Tech as well. I don't see any world where Duke comes without North Carolina.
So North Carolina's not gonna, but North Carolina's not going to get to take Duke to the SEC or Big Ten, whichever one. North Carolina is one of the most valuable products.
Oh yeah, no. Conference. No. But what I'm saying is, I don't expect Duke to come out to the Big 12 unless North Carolina was coming as well. There's a good chance Duke might find another home. Honestly, they might end up having to find another home. Well, I don't know.
No,
your mic might want Duke.
No, you go. No. This is the point I've made when we had these conversations. I understand the football side of things. If your goal, if your big brain idea for Brett Yormark is to sell Big 12 men's basketball separately from football, and the
that's
other
fair. Then Duke's a no-brainer.
And you want to position yourself in a spot where the Power 2 wants to go do their own thing. Good luck having a men's basketball tournament that doesn't include the Big 12 with Arizona, Kansas, Baylor, Duke. Have fun with that national championship that no one's going to think is worth a damn. Then you bring in Duke. In fact, Duke's the first school I go get because that's of fair. Basketball. Miami is a brand. No, they have not lived up to it in football. They've also been pretty good at basketball. Man, it gives you another school in the state of Florida. Miami makes a lot of sense. Does Miami want to go to the Big 12? Miami would be the ACC version of Utah in this situation of, we'll go because we have to, but we're not going to be happy about it. And we're going to complain right. The entire
we'll
time.
We'll go because there's nobody, because there's nowhere else. And then we'll try to get everyone to do exactly what we want them to do.
So to me, Duke and Miami, NC State makes so much sense. NC State feels like a Big 12 school. It does. Like, it is absolutely a big, like, they feel like a Big 12 school. You bring it. I know it's another school from the state of North Carolina along with Duke, but they fit. And I don't think it's bad to have a school that's literally in the same state as Duke coming in with you. I'm good with that. NC State makes a lot of sense. The fourth team is where I struggle. And I struggle between Louisville and Virginia Tech. I don't here's the one thing I want to preface. They do have to care about football. And the problem that Clemson and Florida State have with the ACC for the most part is half that conference doesn't actually care. They are academic institutions that have sports. They care about basketball. They don't care that much about football. Boston College. They just don't care that much about football. Wake Forest, I don't care if you're playing well right now. Like, they just, as an institution, it ain't that big. It's just not that important.
It's a plus. It's not a focus.
Syracuse. And so Virginia Tech has a long history of success in football, has had success in basketball, is a good academic institution, gets you into a different market. And, you know, people are like, well, we should bring in Pitt for West Virginia. No, because Pitt sucks at everything. Virginia Tech is a rivalry game for West Virginia. It would make a lot of sense to bring in Virginia Tech for a number of reasons. Then I go to Louisville, who geographically makes a ton of sense based off location, based off that is a school that the Big 12 kind of looked at and the Texas said no to. Is with a rumor that the rumor that has always existed is that the Big is that Texas said no to Louisville the last time we did this whole thing back in 2010, 2011, which is why we ended up with West Virginia. No offense to West Virginia. So if we're doing Duke, which I think is number one, Miami, which I think is number 1B, and NC State, which makes a lot of sense. And if you guys don't agree with NC State, that's fine. You know the Twitter handle, the email. Shoot your thoughts my way. Then it comes down to me between Louisville and Virginia Tech. I don't think anyone else, not Wake Forest, you're not getting Virginia, not Syracuse, not Pitt, not Georgia Tech, not Boston College. You're not getting Florida State. You're not getting Clemson. You're not getting North Carolina. You're not getting Virginia. There's no one else I think is worthwhile. I think it's Duke, Miami, NC State, fits the time, and then you choose between Virginia Tech and Louisville. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
So anybody's got any thoughts on that?
Apparently my cat does not agree though, because I'm getting attacked now right after we said that. So
meow. Still halftime in Houston and Texas A&M. Baylor has a 3-point lead with 16 seconds left. This is a bit at this point, and it amuses me so. It amuses me.
Wait a minute. You're ahead of me. Dang it. You're ahead of me.
I have
literally. They have a 1-point lead with 20 seconds on my screen.
I have a 3-point lead with 16 seconds.
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't have the game
I'm
up.
Really far behind.
I have the bracket.
That's why. I'm really
so
far
ESPN's
behind.
ESPN is updating the score.
No, I apparently paused at some point and didn't realize it. Oh. So now I'm on.
There you go.
Ooh, that should be an intentional foul even. She was going up for the basket. They literally grabbed her by the waist and tried to pull her down.
Yeah, that's a bad thing. So I want to hear everybody's thoughts on all this stuff. Let's hear about your thoughts on Big 12 in March Madness. Let's hear your thoughts on this realignment stuff. Let's hear your thoughts on Friday night games, men's and women's brackets, West Virginia and Oklahoma State's hires at 1012 Network. If you listen to the show on a regular basis, first off, thank you. Leave us 5 stars and a review, please. I'm happy to respond to stuff on Twitter. I would love more engagement on there. Or Threads, I don't care. Or Instagram. Hop in and tell us why you don't agree. Tell us why Andy talks too much about Kansas. You notice how I limited him on Kansas talk today? Did you want to talk about Kansas losing Gonzaga more? I didn't think so.
No, but I will say, on the women's side, that comeback was ridiculous against Michigan. They were down by 10 in the fourth quarter and was able to come all the way back and then blew past them in overtime. But that's just one result for the Big 12. So yeah. we don't need to dive any deeper. And when they
baseball,
beat USC tomorrow. No, I'm joking. Yeah. Go ahead.
Big 12 baseball is it's not very good this year. I don't think Big 12 is very good in baseball this year. Like TCU started off completely undefeated in non-conference. I know they're like 2-7 in conference play. I know they've had injuries has been a problem. Like OSU's meh, Texas is okay. Our good friends at College Baseball Nation, they actually do they'll do Twitter spaces, just talking Big 12 baseball a lot during the season. You should go check that out. Kansas State, their latest one went up 23 minutes ago at time of recording. It's 9 o'clock. The Twitter handle. If you want to go follow them, if you don't, our good friends at CBN. Sorry. I'm looking at, they have a Big 12 Twitter account at College Ball Nat. Their rankings has Kansas State in them. So it's the only Big 12 team in their top 25 at 23. So there you go. Congrats to Kansas State. This could be a good season for them. But they also have a Big 12 account as well. So
that's all right. Big 12 is great at softball. And so make sure you tune into the Thursday episode to hear more about softball.
Abso-frickin-lutely. Okay. I was just waiting to see if we could get the Baylor game to end here.
Like, no, unfortunately not.
I picked them to advance to Sweet 16 in my bracket. So I feel good about that.
Me too.
All right. Andy, it's been fun. We'll have Andy back on soon. We'll have Jamie on at some point too. Like I said, we're going to take a little Monday episode break so I can prep some football stuff. We'll be back for softball on Thursday this week. Who are the guests going to be? I don't know. If you're not a softball fan, I understand it. If you just give the show a shot, that's all I ask. If you do have something you want to see, if you've got some ideas you'd like to see from us from the show, be it on YouTube in video form or just here on the podcast, y'all hit us up at 1012 Network on Twitter, 1012 Pod on Instagram and Threads, 1012podcast@gmail.com. I'll respond to you guys. You can DM us. Our DMs are open. I don't know. X Twitter is weird about stuff now, so they're supposed to be open for everyone. Chop Charlie Hustle. Go to 1012network.com, TEN, the number 12, the word network. Find every show there. I've actually got to get that updated. I don't think I have Wide Right Nettie Light on the website yet for some stupid reason. Oh, bless them. We'll talk to y'all soon.
Podcast Network.